Welcome to another episode of The Silly with the Hooligans. This is Mitch. Matthew Bird is out, but we have Brad still.
Hello.
And we have a special guest.
We do. It's filling in for Matthew Bird.
It's not Dave Chappelle.
It is not Dave Chappelle. I wish that it was.
It's the most capped person on the podcast.
It is. It's St. Louis FC general manager Jeremy Allenbaugh.
And he's brought to you today by Great Clips.
I don't think he's ever visited Great Clips.
not recently, no.
He and I don't have those kind of problems. So it's been an interesting week in the life of St. Louis FC here.
Yeah, I mean, games or weeks where you have basically three games in 7 days, I mean, they're never fun. I mean, I'm sure Jeremy will attest that making sure you've got a full roster that's healthy and ready to go on a regular basis is hard enough, let alone squeezing an extra game there in the middle.
Not ideal for anybody, other than fans, right? Because you got to see us play.
Yep.
Even with the tough result on Saturday, getting to see your team play after a long off season three times in a week is fun and enjoyable, and especially for two of those three. But you know, trying to get guys through it healthy, not the best conditions. But you know, credit to the league, we don't have that very often.
They have done a better job this year
sure.
Spreading out the schedule, but occasionally you're going to have to do this.
Yeah, and that's the reality of where we're at, and that's okay.
Well, you're not having to split a stadium with a baseball team. That also helps.
Yes. Let's go ahead and mention the Wednesday night game, Pittsburgh Riverhounds. We won that one 2-1. Started off a little nervy. Davala gave up one. I mean, I hate to blame a guy, but that was pretty much on him with that little cough up.
I'm just watching Jeremy's eyes twitch.
Yeah.
He's not saying
We're not going to make Jeremy say anything he doesn't want to say. But
we love Davala, but...
Yeah, but these things happen.
You make mistakes as a professional. No.
But what's important is the team, once again, like they did the two home games, there was no heads that went down. They just buckled down and got to work. And
to be fair, would Preki let them put their heads down? There's probably a good chance he'd pull them up by the hair.
It could be, but... I want to give a shout out to Angulo. That was a fabulous goal.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's kind of what we've been wanting from a striker that, I mean, he just turned it and put it right in the net in heavy traffic.
That's why you got him, right?
That's why he's here. And, you know, credit to him. Never easy to go back to a place where he had a lot of success and a former home and go out there and, you know, he's got mixed emotions, but he's a pro, and at the end of the day he's got to take care of business, and he did. But I felt really, really happy for him, because you know, at the end of the day in Pittsburgh, things didn't maybe end the way he wanted to, but he goes there and you know, bangs one in the back of the net, and it's a game winner, and you know, we leave that stadium you know, feeling pretty happy.
And the new get after it evidently is at the end of the day, because that's been like the third or fourth time you've said it here. So.
It is the end of the day, so I'm probably going to say it a few times right now.
At
but
the end
okay.
of the day, get after it.
That's all right. And Valesky grabbed another goal in that game. I mean,
my God.
He's starting off well for us. Again, another excellent signing by our GM. You want to take some more credit for that one, Jeremy?
No, it's...
But he's had a good start to the
where
season.
Where was this GM for the past 2 years? That's what I want to know. All this talent coming out all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, he finds goal scorers. That's what he does.
Evidently.
So that was the good news. Wednesday night, we ascended to the top of the USL table in the East.
That was beautiful. That was like the greatest 3 days ever.
It really was quite nice.
I mean, we've never been up there this far.
We've been, you know, third, I think, was the highest we'd ever been up till that point, maybe?
Maybe.
Correct.
But yeah, top of the table, Nicholas Murray tweeted out we'd ruined his storyline for the weekend. He was writing a little story about Tampa Bay and Louisville.
Shocker, the league likes Tampa Bay.
Yeah, fighting for the top spot.
But
we ruined that. He had to admit that we were the top of the league.
That's such a beautiful thing.
And Cincinnati, even though that didn't go so well, we're still right there with Louisville at the top of the league. We're tied on points, but we played. Yeah, so.
Yeah, goal differentials. Not in our favor right now either after Saturday, but
we'll work
our way through it.
Let's mention Saturday. We won't dwell on it. Everybody watched it. We know what happened.
You didn't hear it, but you watched it.
GB put on a clinic.
My God.
I mean, Matt Bird said Cincinnati's not going to be the same after losing a Coley. GB might be just as special of a player. I mean, the kid knows what to do with the ball.
He's a proven goal scorer, and I got to give a shout-out to his agent, who is Irvin Herrera's agent.
There you
go. And he's officially known as the agent of the strikers, because he's got a few others in this league and some other leagues. And
never mind.
not the agent of the Fort Lauderdale strikers.
I got you.
But no, he's got a handful of guys that that can score goals, and you know, he did that on Saturday night, and a couple of them, you know, we let them be easy chances, but he put them away, and you know, we all know that you have to finish your chances, and he did, and it was a tough one, but you know, you're going to have a game or two like that, you know, and you just during the season, and you know,
rather now than in August,
and
or Cincinnati's
October.
A good team. That's the other thing. They hadn't, you know, litting it up in the record books quite this season, but everybody knows that's a good team. Yeah. Koch was a good coach, you know, even though they got rid of Harks, Koch was one of the best coaches in USL, I think, with Vancouver. And they've got a lot of talent, and they've spent a lot of money on that squad. So I'm not surprised that they put together a good game, especially for their home opener.
By the way, did you know they had 20,000 people there?
Yeah, I guess so.
Have you heard that?
I've heard it a few times. They broke the record. It was a good crowd. I don't know if I wanted to sit there and count everybody, if it was really 23,000 or whatever they claimed, but it was a big crowd.
By the way, Cincinnati always has 20,000.
That's true.
So just accept it.
No, I don't want to. I don't even want to argue about that, because they do a good job of packing the house.
It's just funny that's. Yeah. It's not necessarily about the soccer. It's about the attendance almost every time they're brought up.
Oh, give them a break. Nope. They're a good team too.
They are, but 20,000.
Well, and 25 to 30 of those 20,000 were Luligans.
That's true.
Made the trip. So.
That's true. We had a nice little contingency go out there.
Big shout out to those guys.
It'd be nice if they didn't stick us playing Cincinnati on holiday weekends all the time.
Well, we're going to get a chance in June. I think we'll take a bigger group to Cincinnati next time.
Can we leave a bus behind?
No. Every bus that starts in St. Louis will finish in Cincinnati.
I wouldn't make that guarantee now, Brad.
I've been assured.
By who?
By Fred.
Oh, shit.
Even if he has to drive it personally. We will get those people to Cincinnati.
That we need to happen.
Yeah.
We need to give them the little limo driver hat and everything.
That would be fun.
Oh, he has one. Yeah. I've seen it.
So anyway, 2-1 in Pittsburgh. We lost 4-0 in Cincy. But we were saying before you came on, Jeremy, that after last week's pod, we said, look, a road trip, and this schedule to start off the season has been pretty brutal.
USL even said it was one of the top five worst
in the
league.
The defending champions in New York, Ottawa Fury coming in from NASL, Cincinnati, Louisville. I mean, these are good teams, and we're sitting on 10 points.
Ask me this in the winter, I would have been stunned.
Exactly. So, you know, Preki did, you know, sort of downplay expectations. You know, he wanted everybody to know this is a work in progress. We're building.
He also said, we're going to win.
But to me, though.
That was in October.
To me, though, he's right. You can see it's not 100% there, but you can see where it's going. And I still have confidence that this is going to continue to get better and better.
Well, you can see the framework works when you can put in other people as well. That, you know, we're pretty banged up right now. And I think that's pretty well understood. But, you know, when you're looking at these guys, you know, we'll just look at Mirko being out.
Yeah.
You know, Dragon has taken over and Tyler David has done phenomenal stepping up.
I mean, you lose a guy the quality of Mirko, and you immediately start thinking, uh-oh, but everything's been fine. I mean, can speak to that, Jeremy.
Yeah, and that starts at the top. I think it's the mentality of, you know, when Ivan went down, you know, Preki's like, yep, it's not good. We'd love to have him. He's a key piece, but we got to go. And then Ivan's attitude, too, so different. I mean, he was disappointed. He's really, you know, grown to love St. Louis and the fans. And you could see when he didn't know he had a broken ankle.
Yeah.
But he's over there,
he played
doing
like
the
half
chant.
The game with a broken leg.
He's over there doing the chant after the game.
Pogo hopping on one good leg.
Exactly. And then he finds out the next day, and then he has surgery. But, you know, he's like, hey, we just got to keep winning, and we will. And we'll be okay. So we just have to get through this little spell. And I think, you know, for me, the go back to last week and not to beat up those results, but we go into the road on Wednesday, and you know it's I have to come from behind, chase the game a little bit, and then Cincinnati's at home watching us play, resting, recovering, and we're not, you know, we're traveling, you know, we're on short rest, they're not, so it was a tough one, you know, regardless. But we got off to such a good start, that was a disappointing thing, as I thought for 30-35 minutes we were okay, we had a lot of the ball. You know, we created a few chances, not as many as we have in you know, the other games outside of the Louisville game, but then it just got away from us. And, you know, But we fought and competed and all the way through, and just the resilience of the guys so far this season has been something to take note of. And now we're going to, you know, true character test will come out after you have a performance like that. What are you going to do now? And, you know, we'll find out on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think compared to previous seasons at least, and I mean, part of it is, you know, that first season you guys were still learning what a team in USL should be, and you made some improvements the second season, but now you can really see the depth on this team where we don't have like a starting 11 and then a B squad. We have sort of a 1 and 1A squad. I mean, a lot of these guys, you feel comfortable when you make the switch and put different guys in. I mean, do you feel it's a top to bottom, a stronger roster?
It is. It's, you know, it's a different roster. It's not as plentiful.
Yeah.
Not as many guys.
But that was by design.
That's by design. You know, we learned some things, and you know, Preki came in with some things that he wanted to do. We've had to bring in some other guys to help out with training, and you know, some of the academy guys are helping in that way, and also did a great job in preseason. And we're going to see some more of those guys. You know, a couple of them have made the 18-man roster, but we're going to see some of them in minutes at some point. But you know, I think talent-wise, top to bottom, it's a deeper group for sure.
And is part of it also the system Preki runs, that it's a little easier to mix and match and plug different people into it?
Maybe not the system, but maybe just what we brought in. If you look at the versatility, you know, Wes Sharpie can play on the left side and the back. He can play on the right. In a pinch, he could play center back. Tavo, we've seen him play, you know, on the right side in the midfield. We've also seen him play in one of the two central spots. Delgard has played up top. He's played, you know, in the left midfield. So there's a lot of versatility within the group. So it's a little bit of the system, but more of what we brought in. We brought in maybe more well-rounded guys that can, you know, play some different spots, and that's a big part to the puzzle.
And Wes has been one of those guys watching. I didn't know what to expect with him coming in, but he's been a stalwart back there. I mean, he's just, again, we like those guys that are quietly doing it every game, like AJ, and, you know, it's like, holy
workers,
shit.
Yeah,
Wes is putting in the work back there. It's like, was it Wednesday night? He was shutting them down every time they come, and they kept switching to the other side because they knew not to go at him. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, this is nice. You know, yeah. This is not a problem we've had in the past.
And, you know, he's logged a lot of minutes in the last 2 years with Toronto too. So he's another guy that has a lot of experience. And that's something that you see over and over from our roster is, you know, guys have, outside of maybe Ledbetter and, you know, a few other guys, majority of these guys have played a lot of minutes as a pro. And that's a big difference than what we've had in the first two seasons.
Do you think that also comes into with the conditioning? Because it seems that they're a whole lot more fit team than maybe we've seen in the past. Is it, you know, is it that professional experience, or is it the, you know, the Preki system?
I'm going to say it's three things. One, we've made a bigger investment as a club, and this is credit to our leadership. We have heart rate monitors now, which we've never had before. So we have those so we can track their GPS, how many yards they're covering every training session in a game. They wear them. You've probably seen pictures of them on social media and stuff. So we track their heart rate, where they're at, you know, how much ground they're covering. So that's a big investment by the club. Two would be just Preki's mentality of how he wants guys to be able to perform and fit. And then the other thing is, I would say the third thing would be the level of professionalism that we brought in. These guys know it's a long season. They didn't run themselves crazy in preseason. They
know how to take care of their bodies.
They take care of them. You know, there's just a lot of little things that have added up to that for sure.
Speaking of the heart rate monitors and all the stats you're tracking this year, who's running the most out there? Who puts in the most mileage? Can you say, or do you want to say?
Yeah, probably not going to say. I can tell you who's...
It's not Davala, right?
No, Gorik.
He says he refuses to wear the heart rate monitor.
It's interesting, though, because you look at it and you know, those things don't lie. So you think somebody, you know, maybe they took a day off today. Yeah. Then you go and you look at the data and you're like, whoops. No.
Well, and not only how much they ran, but you can see where they were on the field, and all that stuff's got to be interesting as a GM and as a coach to look at those things. And you can say, you know, when you tell a guy you spent too much time in, you know, wherever, and he says, no, I didn't, coach, you can pull out the sheet and say, no, look, this is exactly where you were.
It's black and white. And you know, it doesn't lie. It tells you what you did. And
right.
So it's, you know, it's just another step for us as a club and as an organization. Last year, we made a big step in our video technology and such with the company that we use, and now we took this one. So it's just, you know, we're continuing to try to stay in the cutting edge and get better and better and, you know, move this thing forward.
Let's talk about...
Wait, hold on for a second.
Yeah.
It's the hockey playoffs. It's organization.
Organization.
You gotta get the Canadian O in there.
Yeah, shout out to my brother. Sorry about the first three games for the Blackhawks.
I'm not. Suck it.
Me neither.
Suck it.
The other big news that came out last week was the U.S. Open Cup draw. We're entering in the second round, and depending on what happens in the first round, we'll either be playing at FC Wichita or we'll host Azteca FC, and that will be on May 17th.
From the Colorado Premier League.
Yes.
That was kind of interesting. I didn't know there was a Colorado Premier League.
I'm pretty sure weed is legal.
That's something the Foundry's doing, right?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good.
All of them.
Yeah. All of them.
I had to read up on the Colorado Premier League.
Weed is legal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's performance enhancing.
It's basically the NASL with weed.
Yeah. Instead of orange slices at halftime,
right,
you have chocolate with weed.
Or the other option is FC Wichita, which I believe is an NPSL team.
Yep.
So, your just general thoughts about the Open Cup? Are you excited to make another run? Or do you look at that as another Wednesday game that's fucking you up?
No, we love the Open Cup. We're a lower level, team. We should love it.
Yeah.
You know, it's that chance. I mean, you're never going to forget the first season we go into Kansas City. I mean, no matter what happens in the rest of the history of the club, that's going to be one of the first big moments we've ever had. Personally, I hope we go to Wichita. That's nothing against Azteca. That's nothing against having a home game. I just feel for us and the progression of our team this season, we need to go into a place as a higher level
team
and go in and battle somebody that's there to knock us
off. That's there to fight, right.
Because I think if we stay in this track and, second place right now and playoffs have to be our aspiration and our goal, we're going to go into a place and a team's going to be below us and they're going to, so we have to get used to that. So if going to Wichita allows that, then, so be it. And they're a good organization. I do know a little bit about them. They played Des Moines last year or maybe the year before in the Open Cup. I forget which one. Good track record, good history of a soccer town. Petcher says that people in Wichita do not like him. so hopefully he can make the trip with us if we go. But, we'll be watching that game to see, what happens. And, Azteca, look, they're not an NPSL team or a PDL team. So, now we've really got something. We've always played one of those teams. But if they get through, don't tell me they're not going to come into our house.
Oh, yeah,
and want
to
be in a pro team. So I love it. It's I don't look at it as a burden. I look at it as this is what soccer is about all over the world.
And we've talked about it many times. The Open Cup's just still, St. Louis has such a ridiculous history in it with all the old, in the turn of the century teams, basically. And we're back in it again. We haven't really been there in 10 years, basically.
And if you follow, I think it's called the Open Cup
or Cup US, something like that
on Twitter. They do a This Day in History, and it seems like half of them are about St. Louis teams.
Yeah, that is true.
On This Day in History, the St. Louis team beat whoever,
Yep.
So that's always fun to watch.
Yeah, and it's cool, too, seeing, I don't even know. We'll just, what's the funeral home? Kudus.
Kudus,
yeah.
Kudus beat Bethlehem Steel.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think one of my favorite chants from the first year was we have funeral homes with more open cups than you do, and then Minnesota, 10,000 lakes and zero open cups.
Yeah.
So those are always fun.
We'll have to come up with a good one.
Let's talk about Saturday. We've got a couple things because we do have to get to questions. We have a lot of questions for Jeremy. Saturday, Second Shift is releasing Brewligans in cans.
Yeah.
They're having a little event at their brewery. It's kind of up there on the hill. Their new space, and from 1 to 4, you can go by there, and you can get some cans of Brewligans.
I'm excited, because as much as I like the beer, the Big Bomber is kind of a lot. You have to share it with somebody.
Yeah, cans are great for tailgates, too.
Oh, yes.
So I think that's what we'll do. We'll pick up some
podcast.
Cans. Yes. Or podcast. Yeah, we'll get to
as
that.
As we're drinking our...
We don't spoil it yet. We have a question about that.
Okay,
so
okay. I won't.
We'll
I
get
won't.
To it. But yeah, from 1 to 4, we're going to be at Second Shift. Kyle drew the artwork for the Brewligans, and he set this up for us. And then 5:30, as usual, we'll tailgate. And at 7,
what are they serving in the tailgate this week?
Tailgate this week is tacos. It's taco night.
That's right.
So yeah, you'll
like the taco night.
You'll want to be there to have some tacos. And then at 7:30, we play the Charlotte Independents.
And it is worth mentioning too that Mark has said that he will have, if the Blues are playing, which hopefully they're not. Hopefully they finish it off Wednesday night. He will have it if it's before the game, if it's the 2 o'clock game, He'll be streaming it on the TVs on the tailgate trailer. If it's the 8:30 game, we'll have it on then too. So if for godforsaken reason we don't sweep, and I'd prefer we swept, we'll have it on TV.
When did this become a hockey podcast?
Shut up. That's why.
No, yes. So
the crossover is strong between the two groups.
It really is. And we might have it on a few phones in Section 8 if it overlaps at all.
But it shouldn't. It shouldn't. It should end on Wednesday.
We want to mention that our charity du jour this week is for Walk to Cure Arthritis. One of our members, his son, Dexter, is dealing with some arthritis.
Childhood arthritis.
This is just a general walk for arthritis, but Dexter's family is specifically dealing with juvenile. And they have a team built, Dexter's Defenders. We are going to donate our charity du jour to them, and that will hopefully push them over their goal. They had a goal of 1,500, and they're getting close. So
I think we should smash it.
We're gonna cross that bar for them. So
if you go and get yourself some Brooligans, make sure you bring enough back that you're drunk and you put a lot of money into the charity du jour bucket.
You don't have to be drunk. Just make sure you donate.
Well, I'm thinking if they're drunk, they donate more than they intended.
Well, sure.
But again,
I'm not encouraging drunkenness. Look.
Pot and kettle.
People are listening. We can't be legally responsible if people get drunk.
We have lawyers.
Okay. Jeremy would probably prefer that you stay sober at least until the game's over, right, Jeremy? Oh, he's checking his text. He's probably signing another player because he's so busy.
No, sorry.
I do want to mention that St. Louis FC has a special offer this week, $17.64. For $17.64, you get a ticket to the game, you get a hot dog, you get a soda, and I think you get a popcorn or something. I don't know. $17.64 is a good deal, though. So do that if you don't already have tickets, but you should already have tickets. But if you don't, call our man Darian.
Yes, it is a ticket, hot dog, soda, popcorn.
There you go.
$17.64.
So you can do that. And
when it's a lot of things for $17.64.
Yeah.
It is, really. I mean,
when you call and order those, you can have them put your ticket in Section 8 or 9.
Because there are a few openings.
If there are any left, they're going fast.
I like that they're going fast again.
And I also want to mention the Pub to Park. It's sold out every game this year. They're going to sell out, so if you need a ride to the game...
I mean, it's Wednesday when you're listening to this?
Yes.
You better get on it now, because by Friday they're gone.
That's right.
That's been a trend.
A couple merch items. Oh, the soccer park's supposed to have some new merch. Maybe this game, maybe?
It's... in yes, we will. It's en route. They're resurfacing the parts of the parking lot, you know, at the park right now. So it's supposed to get delivered today. It's going to get delivered tomorrow. Okay. The staff will work hard to get it done. And
so stop by the pro shop.
Absolutely.
So it looks like I'm coming up on Thursday. That's what I'm hearing.
Saturday.
You can wait.
I cannot wait.
You can wait.
But they won't have fat guy sizes by then.
We'll be okay.
Okay.
They know to stock for Luligan bodies.
No, they don't.
Well, they're not getting all of it from Nike. See, Nike's the big problem when it comes to fat guys.
Yes, good point.
So, speaking of merch, we're going to have new stickers. We've got...
Which are awesome. I love the new stickers.
Yeah, I think they're kind of cool.
I like the green ones a lot.
Yes. So, come get those. Those are available for a $1 donation to our charity du jour. We've still got Punisher shirts. We have a few of the flag shirts left. Still got scarves. We've got both 16 and 17 scarves available. And we do have a new shirt that was pre-order only. Hopefully they will be done by this game. The Bus 2 Memorial shirts will be available. Not to buy. If you didn't pre-order, you don't get one. So,
nope.
Then I'm thinking in the next couple games we're going to have a new Luligan shirt.
I can't wait for the new shirt. I really like the new idea.
That's all I have.
I think it'll be popular with journalists.
With journalists.
Yeah. What's the next round of hats?
Oh man, hats!
As a summertime coming and a ball guy on the microphone, I need to know when the new hat's coming.
Didn't you get one of the last hats?
Yeah, but that was like almost a year.
So
ago.
I got to do a new hat every year.
Yeah, that's basically.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Okay. Do you have any preferences?
A hat.
Thanks, Captain Obvious. I mean,
they've all been good.
Did you like the last one, the fleck with the mm-hmm. lighter material? I mean, did you like those?
For the summer, those are great.
That's what I thought too as well.
Yeah.
I know Eric likes the blue one that were the
Welcome to
sizes.
Hat Talk.
Hey, Two of us don't have hair.
Yeah, okay.
So
right.
Kiss two podcasts ass. Ago, you talked about sandwiches and hot dogs.
That's true.
Don't worry, so. That question's coming later.
Oh, boy.
I edited that one out.
Nope, fuck it.
We've got so many questions.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yeah, just answer it now.
No, Jeremy. No, not at all.
There you go.
Thank you.
Done.
All right, so we will be doing a new hat also at some point.
I guess I'm doing a new hat. Shit.
Maybe we'll do like, you know, a camouflage one or something.
No.
We've run out of colors.
Well, I don't know. What should we do? See,
maybe we could do Kelly Green. We've never done like...
red.
No.
Red collar.
We'll get to
red
that
brim,
too.
Something.
Well, see, I was thinking about doing a black on black, but they did the murdered out
hat
this
that's
year.
That's a good hat.
Those we cannot keep in stock.
Oh my god! I got one at the jersey unveil, and I'm so glad I did.
I ordered one the next day because
so good. It's a great
it's a good hat.
But you know what?
We could do a murder on murder. Yeah. Murder on murder. This is St. Louis.
I know. That's right.
Speaking of that, that's the bus 2 shirt. It features the black on black look.
That's right.
So
maybe that's our thing this year.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to questions because there's a ton of them.
All right.
So this isn't quite as many as the Jeremy AMA we did last year, but luckily we're a good team this year, so there's not as many ugly questions. The first one comes from Professor Bird. Is it lonely on the couch?
You know, as I look to my left, and it's just a vacant space.
Right.
It's a little difficult. I didn't want to sit in it. You know, it's like Sheldon on
right.
Big Bang Theory.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's Bird's spot.
You know, you don't mess with Bird's spot. So
I was thinking about putting a candle there. In memorial.
Yeah.
Well, this year, even when Bird sits there, sometimes I have to look twice because he's half the man he used to be.
This is true, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, we miss you, Bird.
Ryan Grass wants to know, injury update. I know this is always tricky in the USL. You guys don't want to give too many hints or details, but any injury updates you can give?
You know, I hope the league can make some changes to this because, you know, like we always say, we have no problem putting these things out if everybody else did it as well.
Right.
I can tell you, expect a few guys back this week, but we're still dealing with some things. I mean, Sebastian had a hamstring. Those take a little bit of time, but he's progressing really well. He's progressing really well, and, you know, I don't think he'll be ready for Saturday, but he's not far away. We should get Adam back, goalkeeper. You know, he
saw you signed another keeper.
Yep, Jack. Yep, he's been with us. You know, throughout preseason and has done well.
Yeah,
local kid is. You know, fought and he just. You know, he finds a way to get things done and he's got a good mentality. So I was happy that he got to travel with us and be a part of it because you know things happen and you just don't know.
Yeah,
you don't
hit
know when
in
he's,
the face with a mic.
Don't know when he's going to be needed.
Yeah.
But you know, so, yeah, we'll get a couple guys back. Obviously, Ivan, you know, he had a doctor's appointment yesterday.
He seems like the kind of guy that they say 12 weeks, and he says 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And they say 12 weeks, and he says 6 weeks.
Yeah. He was all over me today about, hey, you know, there's this treadmill that doesn't put pressure on it. As soon as I'm allowed to, I'm like, okay, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's just his mentality. So
he's
we're
tearing
making,
the cast off with his teeth
oh,
as we speak.
Exactly what yeah. I was going to say. Yeah. I imagine him with, like, a hacksaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're
he's
making,
got Guzman in a basement chopping his cast off.
So we're making progress on the injuries. You know, a couple guys are still out, but, you know, we got some other guys back. So Eric trained full out today. That was
okay.
A great sign. He's still, you know, a little bit away from,
yeah.
You know, being back as far as being sharp and being ready, but he's healthy. He's,
Ivan's
he's
really,
good to go.
Ivan's really our only long-term
correct.
Injury right
100%.
Now. 100%. Okay. Jeff Koninger, I never know how to pronounce that name. He wants to know, was there any significance to Schalke being featured in our home game, the bag giveaway, and we know they had people at the game, and they did a thing at Amsterdam watch party for their game versus Dortmund. Is there anything to be said about Schalke's relationship with St. Louis FC?
The only relationship is they valued us as a real soccer club and as a market that they want to get into. It was that simple, but they knew that we have a strong supporters group, that we have a strong real soccer culture. We're not playing in a baseball stadium. We're not shooting T-shirts out of a cannon into the crowd. And they wanted to expand their brand in St. Louis, and they partnered up with Amsterdam. They did that big breakfast there. I think that was the day that I journeyed down there to watch Liverpool win, thank goodness. So they just wanted to be in St. Louis and do something. There's no future plans or anything like that. But I thought they did a really good job, and it was a good event. And, you know, it got our name out in front of all of their social media people. What they did the thing, you know, wishing us good luck in the home opener. And the more things we can do like that just to elevate, you know, what we're doing here in St. Louis and, you know, is a good thing.
I guess I'm canceling my t-shirt cannon that I was creating. That's what I just heard.
Let's see. We have several people ask this question, but
let's skip a question there.
Okay.
Since he just brought it up.
Yeah, yeah.
There was James Costin had a great question.
Yeah. James Costin wants to know, he saw you that morning, and he wants to know, will you be wearing sweatpants and drinking Busch beer before every home game now? And speaking of which, Jeremy brought fresh Busch beer for us to enjoy at the podcast. And we are enjoying it, even though I get accused of being a beer snob. I drank my Busch beer and I enjoyed it.
I love me a good Busch beer every
once in a while. The creaminess of it out of a can is...
Jeremy and I had this conversation on text earlier this morning. I mowed the lawn last night. I literally sat there and said, you know what? A Busch would sound really good right about now.
I need to get my phone out so I can check in on Untappd with the Busch. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure you get some sort of badge for heading to the mountains.
Badge of shame for going to the mountains at home.
Busch.
So to answer James's question, you know, when you live quite a... far distance away from the Amsterdam, but you have to go. And you know, honestly, it was they played Everton that day, so it was the derby game. I hadn't been there in a while, and I enjoy going down there to watch games, especially when it's your team that you support. And went down there, and it was early in the morning. It was the early game, which I swore I would never go to because it's too early. But yeah, I threw the Liverpool top on and the sweatpants. So there is a chance that that I will be, donning that attire again.
It's incorporated into your new routine.
Almost.
We know Jeremy's very superstitious. So.
No. He's just a little stitious. Okay. Like I said, several people asked this question. I'm going to go ahead and give Ryan Brockenschmidt the credit for asking, though. What did you think of the big Phoenix Rising FC signing of Didier Drogba? And what do you think of... just in general, bringing aging superstars over?
That's a tough one because I'm not in Phoenix, so I don't know the value of that.
And there are different motivations to signing a guy like that. I mean, it does bring instant notoriety.
All I can say is for what we're trying to do here since day one, whether we've done it right or done it wrong, and hopefully we're doing more right now than we've done in the past, but... for what we're trying to do, we're trying to use this platform and this league as an opportunity to showcase this sport that we all love so much in a very authentic atmosphere. We're trying to put St. Louis back on the map, and we're trying to provide opportunities for players to grow and get better and move on like some of them have.
Right.
So to
a 39-year-old striker
doesn't fit in our plans.
Who won't play on field turf?
Yeah. So it definitely wouldn't work here. Yeah. But that doesn't mean it's wrong because I'm not in Phoenix, so right. I don't know what is their plan. What are they trying to do?
They're trying to get attention because of their MLS bid.
Yeah, and maybe they're trying, and they've made a big investment there, and credit to them for turning that around.
Drogba's not the only one they've signed. They signed Omar Bravo, and they signed Bradley Wright Phillips. Sean Wright Phillips. So I mean,
the older one. That's how you know.
Yeah, exactly. They've spent some money on some guys, and hopefully they're getting some attention and maybe some attendance out of it.
Yeah. And, everybody's different with their approach. Even in MLS, everybody's different. Look at Dallas and what they do compared to NYCFC. So nobody's right, nobody's wrong, but for us, it doesn't fit.
Right.
Now, I've heard that some of our players have attractive girlfriends, so let's not bring in John Terry.
I was going to say, that's the follow-up question. Oinkity wanted to know, when are we signing John Terry?
Nope, we've got some good-looking women around. Prefer that he...
The locker room's in a good spot right now. I don't think we want to mess with it.
And that's the same reason we didn't bring in Harks. He tried to fax over his resume, but we didn't take it. Jim Pruitt wants to know, now that the MLS bid has failed, and Lou City is now talking about a new 10,000 seat stadium, and this really isn't you, this is more maybe a Fred or a Jim or even a Pat question, but you're the VP now. Have you been on any discussions where they're talking about...
my dog tries to kill herself on the cables.
She almost strangled me. Maybe doing some expansion to Toyota Stadium. Fred's always said simply, once we sell out every game, then you'll force me to expand it. But have you guys talked about maybe doing some more improvements to Toyota Stadium?
I mean, yeah, we've had conversations about it, but let's just be completely honest here. We have to sell it out on a more regular basis.
Yeah.
And look, we're so excited for the atmosphere that we've created and the number of people. But, go back to, we had the defending champions here, and we were, 400 people away from a sellout?
Yeah.
Until that changes, until until that, you know, is a sellout game in, game out, it's going to be hard for us to expand because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're always going to be looking at improvements? You're going to see some things here in the next couple of weeks. There's going to be a pavilion put down in the fan zone, the blue chip fan zone in between fields 2 and 3. It's a covered area. There's going to be where you guys march in. There's going to be a new entrance built there, like an entrance way that you walk into. It's going to have more of a stadium feel, so it's not just a little open area. Yeah. And those things are going to help, and some of the other changes that we made. But in order for us to seriously look at expansion, we got to get more people there. And that's not, you know, look, I'm preaching to the choir, right?
Right.
Everybody listens to this podcast, comes to the games, they right. go, they watch, they support the club with everything they have. But we got to get over that hump. And if we do, then of course we're going to look at those things and, you know, putting seats behind the goals. That's a big thing that we're looking at. And we want to make it, you know, I was at Cincinnati on Saturday. Credit to them with, as Mitch said, 20,000 people.
Yeah.
And they had a decent environment, but it was not like ours.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth. They had more people, and it was a great, and you walk up there and you're like, wow, this is cool and this and that. But what we've done...
Well, their closest seat is probably farther away from the field than our farthest
right,
seat.
Right, right. Yeah. So it's, you know, we love what we have. We want to keep making it better, but... until it, you know, we can't put more seats in until it's necessary. But we're so close, and
right.
we will get there. I really do feel that we're going to get there.
Derek Hotman wanted to know. Obviously, now this will be our sixth game, right?
Yep.
No sign of Hutch. What about the rumors of a Mark Register signing? Do we have any concrete details on when we might see Mark at a soccer park?
You know, with the rash of injuries, it's probably going to be a necessity to get Mark out there sooner than later. You know, so we'll have to look and see.
He plays an old school style. I think he plays sweeper.
No shin guards.
No shin guards.
No, Copas. No. Copas.
He's no pussy.
Yeah. No, that'll be a fun.
That's a kid that wears black shoes. He doesn't wear pink or neon green.
No. It's all Copas.
No Nike Volt.
No,
yeah.
He doesn't stretch.
No.
Shows up 5 minutes before kickoff.
Cigarette.
Ready to go.
Yeah. Coffee.
He quit drinking, but he's willing to start.
So that'll be good. And Hutch is just a mystery. I mean, you know, you think you know a guy. And you know,
is it one of those cases where he had a little bit of success and it all went to his head, do you think? Because, I mean, I know you can't really say contractually what happened, but we know he was holding out for more money.
Listen, there's rumors going around, and I'm you know, I'm not one to rumor monger.
Yeah.
But there was rumors that his phone was full of pictures of men's genitalia at the last game.
Jesus.
it may have been other people texting it to him.
Oh, okay.
All game long.
Well, I mean, the fans get upset when you turn your back on the club like he did.
That's where this is headed.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you turn your back on the club,
yeah.
they take revenge.
I really hope there's like one person out there listening who has no idea what we're talking about. It's like, oh my God, some guy played for the team and now his phone's full of male genitalia.
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
Wonder Herrera left.
He had a perfect record when he was with the club. I'll just say that.
Yeah, just, you know, go out while you're on top.
That's right. Okay,
old
Mike McHugh. Yeah,
there.
Exactly. I did have to adjust. Mike McHugh wants to know. I mean, we've already talked about Cincy, but seriously, was Cincy a reality check, or was it just a combination of injuries and fatigue in one of those games?
Both.
Okay,
for sure. We played on Wednesday. They didn't, and that's hard. And we played 3 games in 7 days. That's difficult. But you know, look, Cincinnati played on the road on Saturday. They the week before, and you know, they exposed some things that we have to work on. But I'll give credit where credit is due. I'm driving home. I get the call from Preki, as we always talk, either in person or on the phone after the game. And it's the first look. It's our first bump, right?
Right.
So I don't know what to expect. And he was very calculated, very calm. Here's where we're at. Here's what we got to do. You know, there's some things that got to improve, but we're gonna work on them, and we're gonna be ready. And that was it.
He was a little more calm than he was at halftime.
Because I was worried about the official safety.
We were worried he might not make it back for the second half. He was having some words.
Yeah, and that's why he's here, because of the passion and what this means to him is, you know, and just in, you know, as Jim said at the town hall we did, he can't help not winning. That's what he's about, and that's why he's here. So there were some things that Cincinnati did that we have to address, and I think, you know, we started on those today in training. And, you know, so it was a lot of things, and, you know, maybe some of us had illusions. I know some of our front office staff did because we had our Monday morning meeting and guys had their heads. I'm like, guys, we lost a game.
Right, right.
We're okay, you know. And I had to do that, you know, with my daughter too. I said, hey, look, we're in second.
Right.
It's okay. And right. She's like, oh, we lost. I'm like, we weren't going to go undefeated.
Right, right.
It doesn't happen. But
well, it does. Arsenal did it.
Once.
Many, many moons ago.
Yeah, but, it's a different team now. Yeah. We've got the same coach, but it's a different team. Yeah.
So it was a little bit of everything. It was a little bit of fatigue, you know, and some guys. But, you know, we're going to be okay, and we're gonna address some of those things and be ready to go.
Mark Register, speaking of, wants to know, one of the fan favorites early in the year has been Dragon. I mean, just a guy that, you know, we said he might finish second every game for our Luligan Man of the Match. You know, he's one of those guys that just works his ass off. He looked tired. He looked beaten up after that, at the end of that Cincy game. How's he doing? Is he good? Is he...
He's a little beaten up still.
Yeah.
You know, he did, you know, some light work today, and, you know, the guys were off Sunday, Monday, and they trained today. You know, we'll see what he looks like, you know, next couple days. But, you know, he's logged a lot of minutes.
And he's a gamer, too. It's not light minutes.
No.
The one good thing we criticized before the podcast started about the Cincinnati announcers a bit, but the one good thing they said about Dragon.
Were our announcers.
Well, no, but the guys that did that game. They said some players are piano players and some are piano carriers. And Dragon's a piano carrier.
He
just works his ass off out there. And I was glad that other people noticed it, especially when, you know, they had to make time out of their busy schedule complimenting Cincinnati to do so.
Well, I mean, you can only fill 11 minutes with so much Cincinnati talk.
But no, I think he's one of those guys that's been a surprise for us fans that didn't know what to expect from him. And
yeah, because when you first look at him, you see the highlight reel, and okay, there's a few things here and there, and you know he's played for LA too, and then he was at Indy, and then last year he really didn't play, so there's not a lot of substance on paper,
right?
And then you see him, and you're like, oof, he lays it on the line, and he's a good one. I'm really glad he's here, and he's just he's a good person, hard worker, and he's another guy that's really taken to you guys and is taken to St. Louis. You just see, you know, a few things that he tweets out, some Instagram stuff. He, and this is a guy that grew up in a soccer culture that has played in top divisions and has been around, and he really, knows what we have here and what he has here, and he's so appreciative of it.
Jim Sullivan wants to know when we're going to do free beer night. I will say we're having, it's a craft beer weekend. Yeah. It doesn't affect any of us because we're out at the tailgate. But if you do get to the park and you get in there a little early, go over to what was formerly the ITAP Craft Corner. Now it's, I think, Mandip Corner is what they're calling it. The little bar area by Section 8, they're going to have craft beers, local craft beers, for $3.
Happy hour.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You can do that. Or you can just come out at the tailgate and have some fun with us.
Yeah. So it's not quite free, but it's, celebrate STL theme, you know, on Saturday.
I think it would be a mistake to do free beer night, personally. I think, A, you'd lose a lot of money, and B...
with us alone.
We have a hard enough time keeping people off the field when they're paying full price for beers. So
that reminds me, if you're listening, and you're one of these people that are getting up against the barricades, the dashboards, whatever you want to call it, fucking stop.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it. I'm tired of Jeremy telling me on Monday mornings, get these people away from the barricades. Jeremy,
well, just in general.
Jeremy, no, hold on. Jeremy, say it right now on the podcast for these motherfuckers that don't want to listen to me. Maybe they'll listen to you. Say it once.
Please stay back.
Thank you. So if you're one
just
of these
in
people,
general, keep the area, the walkway clear. We have to have a way for people to get to the restrooms and get to the food and the drink.
And beer.
And the beer, yes.
And if you're one of these twats that's standing down near the scoreboard and getting up on the grass down there, get off. Get away.
Yeah, stay on the paved area.
Yes. And we try to create such a real, authentic atmosphere in every way with the smoke and you guys, what you do with the chants. And we want our guys to run over there.
Yeah.
But it's got to be a safety concern. And it's got to be something that we just have to, you know, people got to be able to get in and get out. And we want people to come and enjoy the game. But we don't want to take that away.
Right.
And We're gonna, you know,
we don't want to get fined by the league either, because the league will fine us if we get out on the field.
Yeah, and there's a few changes that we're gonna make with, you know, with the area down there with some flow and maybe looking at a capo stand,
a chain link fence,
cage, you know, some things that. But we love what we have, and we want to keep it. We want to keep it going. We just, and you know, we just need to be respectful of, you know, of what we have.
So you heard it from him. So on Saturday, if I come up to you and say, "Move your goddamn ass," Jeremy said so. Not just me being a dick.
Maybe we have cards made. Jeremy said move.
Oh. Yeah, that won't work.
We got a question here from Matt Johnson, our fan up in Minnesota. He wants to know, is the only reason Jeremy's on the podcast because we lost? Because
I don't know where the superstition stuff is coming from. I mean,
you
know, there's a little bit, but
no, but the last you podcast, said this one. You said this one last year. You said you wouldn't come on.
Oh, that was last year. That doesn't count.
Last year's that's over.
Oh, so it's a whole new set of superstitions this year.
Again,
yes and no. And
how
I'm
many times are you like tapping the door as you walk?
No, it's not that bad.
Like getting a full OCD action.
No, it's not quite that bad, but it's there are some moments. But the last podcast, you guys made me sound like holy smokes.
I know, it was fun. Oh, yeah. it's really fun to talk about you when you're not here to defend yourself.
Yeah, but no, it's not that bad, Matt. And you know, hopefully we can get an Open Cup game. You know, we're going to play Minnesota. Let's
of course
we're going to play them. So hopefully we can do it up there. That'd be great.
That would be good.
Oh. You know, that'd be great. That'd be really good.
And I want them this year because they're not looking great.
That's the other part too.
Michael Decker wants to know: is there a limit on the number of academy kids that we can have on our roster? Is there like a set limit, or is that just up to you? What's available and what you think is worth putting on the roster?
So up to a certain number, five players can be on your roster and not count towards your numbers.
Yeah.
So those guys don't count against our squad list. So up to five. After five, then they do count towards it. So, you know, we've had a couple other guys in that we've looked at. You know, a couple more academy kids are going to impress us over the next couple months, and maybe we bring them in the summer and take a look at them. But the four guys that we've had so far, you know, are the ones that you know, I've been most deserving of it. But I was out watching sessions last week. I was out watching a session last night. You know, we're just always, you know, trying to identify and see who's out there and, you know, what they, you know, what they can bring to us. So we're, you know, we're fortunate with that setup. We really are. And we're fortunate that we have a head coach that has been through that as a player. He was a 15, 16 year old, you know, kid thrown into the mix, and he understands it. So, you know, we've got a lot of work to do still, but, you know, we're really happy with where we're at.
So along those lines, and this is something that's always been one of my big things too, is that, so how does that play in then with the whole homegrown player horse shit that MLS pulls? So since they're in our system and since they're quote unquote on our roster, does that mean that, you know, Sporting Kansas City can't put a homegrown designation on them, or is there any sort of respect there, or do they just,
it's a difficult one because there's no real answer, but let's talk about Kuzain, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he was with us last year. He was signed with us as an academy player, had a family member, a brother that worked for Sporting, ended up going there as a, you know, as he thought was a better opportunity for him. And he's playing a lot of minutes for him now. And, you know, credit to him.
The Swope team.
Yeah. And the Swope, and he's doing well. You know, currently, Missouri is in Sporting's quote unquote MLS territory.
Right.
So for them to, but you know, there are rules that they do have to follow in order for a kid to qualify. He has to, you know, so many hours or so many years or whatever it is. I don't know. But really it's in
but
some
you're
way,
not getting any compensation for
no,
that.
No, there's no compensation. In some ways it's, you know, it's a free for all, but after the, you know, the vote went down, you know, a couple of our, you know, guys in the U side are like, oh man, now some of these MLS teams are gonna come after our kids. I said, Whoa. Wouldn't have mattered if we were an MLS team. Look at FC Dallas.
Yeah.
They lost their three best players to Germany. So we still have to do our job. We have to, you know, we have to educate these kids. We have to show them a good pathway. We have to work with them. We have to communicate. We have to, you know, we don't have to kiss their ass.
Right.
We don't have to do those things, but we have to. We just can't sit back and go, you're ours.
You also don't want to hold a kid back. If he really truly has an opportunity, I mean, as coaches and as just mentors in these young lives, You do want to help these kids progress to their ultimate spot, wherever that may be.
PDL still going to happen this year?
It is. So schedule's out. We will be playing our games over in Collinsville again. We're excited about it. We had another meeting today. Got a good roster. To, you know, we got a couple you know, college guys that we recruited and identified that we're bringing in. We'll use it for some of our academy kids, some guys that grew up in the club that are off in college. It'll be a mixed bag, but it's something that we're it fits into the whole, you know, pyramid of what we're trying to do, and it'll be exciting. We played the Lions 3 times. How good is that?
That's awesome.
That's awesome. I mean, that's how it should be. So we're excited about that, and you know, we know Tony will have his guys ready, and hopefully we have our guys ready. So it's just gonna be a lot more soccer is better for everybody.
For those that aren't aware, out in Cottleville, you know, our PDL
Collinsville
team.
And Cottleville.
I know. That's why
we could call it the C Cup.
Yeah. There we go. Sure. And I could model for it.
Yeah. But the Lions have been out there for a while. Tony Glavin does a fantastic job, and those will be fun games.
Yeah, I think so. I think you know, anything where you got local guys going against each other, that kind of adds a little bit of spice to it, and be good for the whole region of St. Louis Metro East and everything.
I mean, that's the other thing too. How great is that we have two PDL teams in the same region? I mean, LA has 100 teams. Yeah. We can have three.
Lots of soccer to go watch here in the area. Before we move on from the Academy kids, you mentioned as you came downstairs, there's a little bit of news with a couple of our Academy kids.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, I just thought of a little bit more news. So Josh Sargent, who's, you know, U17.
Still part of the Gallagher system right now.
Yep.
And I'm sure lots of people are chasing his his signature. But
all over the world. But he's going to be heading down with the U17 national team for the CONCACAF qualifier, which will hopefully get them to the World Cup in October in India. And then it just got announced here earlier this evening that Jack Mayer, who is not related to Parker, I know that was a big question earlier, but Jack and then Aiden Stanley, who was actually on the trip with us to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, was in the 18. Both of them are representing our U18 national team over in Europe for an event. So, you know, credit to those guys and the work that they put in. Anytime you can represent your country at any level is a great thing. And you know, hopefully they've benefited from the time they've had with us during the preseason and season so far. And, you know, we wish them the best of luck.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about Kyle Eagle wants to know, maybe it's Eagle, I don't know how you say it. He wants to know, the tailgates are great. He has a great time coming out. Wants to credit you guys for being... not organizing it, but letting us do our thing and then create an atmosphere out there for the tailgates. He wants to know about early tailgates. And we know we do have a few every year where you do open up a little early, but there are things going on at the park almost every weekend. So that kind of prevents us from doing it any earlier.
Well, baseball games.
Yeah, the baseball games.
So opening weekend, we had a college showcase tournament that we hosted. Second weekend, we had a spring classic tournament that we hosted. This weekend, Lou Fuse Soccer Club and us have a good relationship. They're hosting a tournament. They're using our facility. So, you know.
You have to turn those people out before we can start letting people in.
Exactly. So, you know, and I think, you know, we'd love to create that atmosphere. We love that atmosphere because all of us, whether it's Jim or Fred or myself or Pat, you know, at heart, we're all fans, and we love to go tailgate, you know, whether it's national team games or
Centipede
games. Or I do listen to Centipede.
That is a question coming up.
Okay.
So
whatever it
save
is.
Save the Centipede talk, boys.
Yeah, we you know, we love those, you know, those things. So there are some games we will open up early. I wish it was more, but, you know, with our organization and what we need to do to survive, we're not going to sell your march to a name, to it, but we do need to have the facility open as much as we can for those different events. And we try to be respectful of those events and as well as the pro team and try to make sure that we can, you know, do everything with, you know, being loyal to what we're really about.
So there you heard it from the man's mouth, you sons of bitches. Mitch's rant number 2 of the night. Don't show up early.
Yeah, because it's a, you know, obviously parking at the park is, you know, and we want to make sure... we want to make sure when the gates open, whether it's for someone who's been to every game for 2 years and 6 games, or it's that first-time person, they come in, they feel it's a professional atmosphere, it's a real game, it's a real setup, it's authentic, and, you know, if we're not ready and people are showing up, then sometimes that's not the impression that we give, and we don't want that.
What time do gates open?
5:30.
So don't show up at 5:15, fucktards.
Damn, Mitch is salty tonight.
I like this, Mitch.
I got so much rage in me this week.
Have another beer, man. Chill.
Twist my arm. There's some cold bush in the fridge.
Dan Dawson wants to know, now that the MLS to SDL finally failed, I don't know, that it wasn't said correctly, but it's over. Now Kavanaugh's got a little bit more money he can pump into St. Louis FC. Have you asked him about a cryotherapy chamber for players to sleep in when we have short weeks?
Get the Michael Jackson oxygen bed.
Not yet.
Okay, but it is in your Amazon wish list, right?
Do we need to set up a GoFundMe for it?
No, please, no more GoFundMes. There's a few things that that will be on the wish list. We'll see when we can get that opportunity to sit down and have those talks. But you know, I think credit to those guys. Like I talked about the heart rate monitors, the GPS. Every year we're making upgrades for the players, for the fans, for the front office. And we're getting, you know, closer and closer.
Tifo Pulse.
Yeah, on their way. They have to get cemented.
I've heard that for 3 years.
They have to get cemented into the ground. I saw them. They're still there today. Stuart did a really good job putting those up. we're trying to make little strides and get this to the club that we all want it to be. And, I don't know if we can do that one, but we can try to do. I can tell you our guys are taken care of better than ever before. And that's the demands that the league is putting on us.
Yep.
I don't know if you got this tweet one from a certain Fred.
No, what did Fred say?
Fred did tweet one. If you are stressed over an election and accidentally tuck your game jersey into your jeans, is it forgivable? I don't think it was accidental.
I don't think so. I think a lot of time went into tucking that jersey in.
Because it had the right amount of pullout that you do, like an Oxford shirt.
We cannot claim that was accidental.
Yeah, that's not accidental. So
this is so awesome because he's the guy that all over me last
year. Right.
This Fred guy, right? For having the black socks and the khaki shorts.
That's fine compared to a jersey tucked in.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you could come out in a Borat swimsuit and it'd be better than
Well, and here's the other thing. You covered up that Mercy sponsorship on the tail.
Absolutely.
They paid money to be seen.
I know.
And you just tucked it right in your jeans.
I mean, obviously, he's trying to show off his ass.
Well, I get.
I mean, come on, you're a storm player.
That's right.
That's what you do.
Professional athlete.
But no, I am not buying into this accidental horseshit.
No, it was not an accident.
No.
Not at all. That was on purpose.
Love you.
How much of, this is my question, then I'm going to follow it up with a Malia question. How much of the Cincinnati loss do we blame on Pat Barry for not making the trip? Because when you guys went to Pittsburgh, and you won, I tweeted at Pat, and I said, you realize this means you have to go to every away trip with Jeremy. He did not make the trip to Cincinnati. So Malia wants to know, has he learned his lesson, and will he be going to all road trips from now on?
See, the next one's what, Orlando?
I think so, yeah. Or do you just reset it because, that...
Once you lose, it's reset?
Yeah. Well, I should ask you guys. You're the ones that were all from my superstitions, right? So, we can blame Pat. Not a problem.
It is a little... Back to McHugh, it's a little bit of a reality check. It's a little bit of tired, a little bit of fatigue, and a lot of Pat Barry not going to the game.
That's what I'm hearing.
Perfect way to put it.
Okay. Man, I really should... Oh... Kevin Cheek wants to know, back to the whole Drogba thing, what about Rooney? Would you sign Rooney? And if you do, let me know, because my grandma needs to start locking her doors. No, sorry.
I think we would probably pass on that one.
Okay.
It doesn't fit our model in many, many ways.
Okay.
But...
Now Steven Gerrard for that Liverpool fan.
No. He would slip on turf and that would be an end to it.
Chris Wertel wants to know,
his heart rate monitor would just show him running out to the middle and running back.
This year there seems to be a lot more shooting going on. How much of that do you attribute to the shoot it boys yelling shoot it in the corner constantly? Is that something you've discussed in training? Did they not know to shoot it before their TIFOs and such?
And their TIFO shirts. We're going to call that a TIFO?
Yeah, we're giving them a TIFO for that. Okay.
They have arts and crafts time at Hot Shots before the game.
Okay.
Yep.
So
first week they had poster board markers.
Then
they did the T-shirts the next week.
Yes.
T-shirts.
Yeah, okay. they made custom T-shirts.
Okay. They even had RIP Harambe in the collars.
Yeah. By the way, if any of the Shoot It Boys are listening, if you saved one of those t-shirts, I would like to do it as a raffle item before a game. Because I think we could get a pretty penny for an authentic Shoot It Boy shirt.
Maybe have them autograph it.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Duh. So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due, right?
Right, I think so.
So we gave credit to Hutch for the win last year. I think we got to give a little bit of credit to the Shoot It Boys.
All right. Chris Brywin wants to know your thoughts on USL's upcoming D3 that they announced. Or are in the works, you know, maybe 2019, I think, is the projected start date of that.
So I just look at how we were left out in St. Louis for a lot of years for, you know, professional soccer and this level. There's other communities that, you know, can experience what we've experienced, the highs and the lows over the last couple of years. I think it's great. More soccer, the better. You have to give credit to USL for their, you know, for the development of this league and the time and the effort and the thought that they've put into it to grow it and build it, and their professionalism with what they've done. So if they maintain that at that level and can continue to grow, I think there's going to be some communities out there that are really going to enjoy this level, and it's more opportunities for players, and you know, we just create more and more
We've discussed it, the value of USL has tripled or more since you guys came in. I mean, I think the franchise fee in USL is now $5 million, whereas it was $1 million a few years ago. So it's hard for a market to decide to jump in at the $5 million level.
Like Des Moines. Des Moines is a great example.
Right. Maybe they would want to jump in at $3 million to test the waters and before they move up to that. Or maybe some communities, you know, they know where their ceiling is. I know like a community like Evansville loves having the preseason games. Maybe they get in at that level.
That'd be a great market for a D3 team. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just look at it. I mean, they could do really well there, and they've good tradition and history of soccer with the University of Evansville there, and then you know, they've hosted some games, they've had good players come out of there. So yeah, I think it's you know, it's an exciting time for the game. I mean, look where we were, you know, 5 years ago, and now we're talking about these type of things. I mean, this is exciting stuff.
We got just a few more questions, Mitch.
Why you?
Because you looked at me. You looked at your watch. And you looked at me.
No, it was buzzing.
Must be a hockey game.
I'm tired of talking to Jeremy.
Actually, that was the message I just got. Was about the hockey game. But okay. I was looking up to you because you were fucking with your mic again.
Oh, yeah, this mic stand I don't like.
You always blame it on the mic stand.
I know. Mark Gardner, we talked about your feelings of the Open Cup. I think the fans have similar feelings. What are Preki's feelings about the Open Cup? Is he excited about making a run in the Open Cup, or is he just give me a game and I'll play it, whatever it comes up?
No, I mean, he's excited. I mean, look, he's a soccer guy, and we all know his background and his history, and you know, as a player and as a coach. So he understands the importance of this to players, whether that's an opportunity for someone who maybe hasn't gotten as many minutes as they would like to get in there and get some minutes to win these games. He's very respectful of the cup, you know, setup, and you know, I think he's excited about it, and he would love to make a run, and you know, it's a chance to compete. And at the end of the day, as we've always said about Preki, is he's a competitor, and these things matter to him. So I think, you know, I think it's something that we all can look forward to here in the next couple of weeks.
Speaking of Mark Gardner, reminds me of our tailgate crew. We want to give a congratulations to Eric Vanita for being the third district officer of the year this past year.
That's right.
It's a major recognition. Good job on not killing anybody. We're proud of you.
Is that all it takes to win?
That's right.
Let's go with Brian Simpson wants to know, have you seen the Luligans new jersey, and what did you think of their Jeremy Allenbaugh homage with the red collar?
Well, fantastic. It's a necessity. Appreciate the nod to it. It's a good looking kit. Even when much better when it's not tucked in.
Yeah.
But if you were to tuck it in, you know,
you could maybe work it both ways.
Yeah, for sure.
Kevin Weber wants to know, how can we spread the word about St. Louis FC? We still run into people every once in a while that didn't know about it, just finding out about it. And everybody we get out to the game has a great time, has, you know, a positive experience, wants to come back. Other than social media, is there anything we can do to help spread the word a little more?
just keep on keeping on. I mean, what we've done so far has helped. I mean, our numbers are consistent. We're solid with our attendance. We want to get over that hump and have every game a sellout. And there was nothing better than that home opener when, you know, we got a couple emails going, hey, will it be walk-up tickets? I'm like, no, there's not. It's done. It's over. You missed it. And you guys put that out there all the time, like, don't miss it. Don't wait. And it was good to be able to finally follow through and say, no, it was it sold out. There's no tickets for walk-up. So we just keep doing what we're doing. We got to keep performing on the field. Let's not kid ourselves. That's an important factor. People like a winner. They want to come out and they want to see a team that competes and does the things that we've done so far. We have to keep that up. Have to keep, you know, just bring in new people. And
I think the Channel 11 thing may help us get some more eyeballs attention.
We got, you know, a bunch of home games coming up that will be on TV. And if you're a little bit of a doubter and you flip on the TV to see it, you're going to see a high level of soccer. This is not a glorified men's team, you know, with some guys that practice twice a week. I mean, these are full-time professionals, and it's a Division II high-level league. And, you know, and I can say that we wouldn't do what Phoenix and some others have done, but, you know, Joe Cole is going to be in our stadium.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some other very good players going to be in our stadium. And, you know, so it's hopefully that all those things added up is and then you add the work that you guys do on social media and word of mouth, and, you know, we just got to stay after it.
And I think it's happened a couple times in the years past. I'm sure it will happen again this season. The group does run some ads during the Saturday and Sunday morning games. I think that's kind of a market that sometimes they need to be convinced that, because when you mention Division II soccer, last year Division III, it puts that minor league baseball sort of thing in your mind. But that's why I'm happy about the Channel 11 games. They'll actually be able to see it, that, no, we've got a real soccer atmosphere. We've got, it's real football going on. It's not, you know, T-shirt
it's
cannons.
It's a high level of talent.
It's not a mascot game at halftime. It's not, you know.
That guy's tripping over the center line.
Right, you know. Yeah. There's not a three-point shot.
Multi-ball.
It's real. And, you know, look no further than our head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to coach in a shit league.
Yeah.
No.
And he's not going to coach at a shit club. So, I mean, just people that have given us a chance, and, you know, there's people listening to this podcast that started as, I'm not sure, and now they're all in because they came and they witnessed it and they've been a part of something. So we just got to – it could be frustrating at times, you know, for sure, especially after going through all the stuff we did with the MLS, you know, to St. Louis and some of that stuff. There can be times where it's like, man, why can't we do this, or what, you know, why aren't we getting more people? We're going to get there. We just have to keep doing what we're doing and enjoy what we have.
This was alluded to earlier. Mark Gardner and Your Electric Company, they put in some work on the trailer this year, and they added a full-size arcade game into the side of the trailer with all your classic favorites. And Aaron Medneka, another one of our tailgate capos, tailgate czars, wants to know, what's your high score on Centipede, and are you taking on all comers after a win?
So, love the arcade game. Big fan. The one issue would be there's no rollerball. So, you really, for Centipede.
Gotta have the trackball.
Yeah, for trackball, you really need that for Centipede. So,
Mark, goddamn it.
Yeah.
Don't do it half-assed next time.
You know, so, I would, because
the marquee that says Lulligan Arcade.
Right, right.
You know, oh, yeah. I mean, I could take you on. All comers, but it's not really a it'd be like not being FIFA sanctioned. Like, yeah, it'd be the 35-yard offside line back in the old NASL.
You're more a rec player than a competitive Centipede player.
Without the trackball.
Yeah.
Your Electric sponsors this podcast. 314-814-3897. That's 314-814-3897.
If you need an arcade machine in the side of your trailer. Oh, Mark.
That ad was brought to you by Great Clips.
Yes. We're not getting paid. We should quit saying Great Clips. Fuck them.
That's funny.
Yeah. We'll send a bill to the Coopers. we should call Louisville to see if they'll sponsor our podcast. we'll do it for a grand.
No, let's sponsor the Man of the March.
The Lulligans bring you this corner kick.
The Lulligans sponsor the Cooper's March
that
to the match.
No, Raising Cane's is a corner kick. I know that because I heard it like 27 times.
Raising Cane's, though.
I heard it like 27 times in the opener because they had like 32 corner kicks.
Yeah, that was that was still a preseason game. That's how I look at that Louisville game.
It was a tie. We'll take the point.
It was a tie. Brawley wants to know, midseason friendly. We've talked about it in the past. Didn't always fit in with your plans. Is it something that might fit in? The only reason I ask, and probably Brawley too, is we know Preki's done it before when he was at Sacramento. Is it something that he likes to do, or is it something that he's not, at least not against doing?
It has to fit with the condensed schedule, which we said earlier is so much better than it has been in years past, but it has to fit in there. Our July schedule doesn't match up great.
You really don't want to do what Sacramento Republic did last year and schedule a friendly in the middle of the playoffs. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, that was a little awkward. So we are in some negotiations and some conversations.
Yeah.
We'll see if it comes to fruition or not. A lot of things have to align, but it's something that we're looking at. It just, you know, it has to fit because at the end of the day, you know, our goal is to be in the playoffs, and we don't want to, you know, disrupt for anything. But we're looking at a few options.
Bringing in like a second tier team like Newcastle. Or Arsenal.
Stand.
I don't know if people would show up to watch that. So.
Yeah. Ricard Beyer, this will be the last question of the night. He wants to know. He doesn't know if you know, but we have a really lovely green jersey. Will the team be wearing that at all this season? And we do like the new white jersey.
Love the new white jersey.
Yeah.
But we do have a green one we could wear.
We do. So we wore green, what, against Louisville?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we are wearing it Saturday.
Okay.
Yep. Part of it is just dictated by, you know, the home team gets to have a choice, and we've had two home games, so I know it looks like we had a choice, but there are some teams that came into the season waiting on some jerseys and such, and we were that team in Florida. We wore green every game in Florida for preseason because the whites weren't fully done, and we didn't want to show them before the season started, so we were that team going, hey, we need to wear green.
Yeah.
We've had that request from some of their teams saying, hey, we're waiting on our light-colored kit. Can you guys wear white? So part of it is, you know, just that, and part of it is just trying to find, you know, the right rhythm. But we are in green on Saturday, and, you know, we love both jerseys. We're really, you know, really happy with both of them. So
to be fair, our results in the white were better. So superstitious Jeremy.
Yeah, no, Jeremy doesn't dictate the jerseys, but
you will all wear the same socks, and we did not wash them.
Yeah. So we'll, but yeah, you'll see us in the green kits on Saturday for sure.
Okay. That's all the questions we have. Anything else you wanna say? Get off your chest. Tell us how we're letting the team down.
No, we tell guys during the recruiting process, because it is recruiting. It doesn't matter if it's college athletics or professional. When you're trying to tell somebody why this is a good spot for them, and we've always brought it up, and guys have always brought it up, but they never believe it till they see it. And, you know, look, I see the social media, I see the tweets, and, you know, Wes Sharpie saying, I underestimated you guys. Yeah. But, you know, it's so real what you guys are doing, and it's so authentic, and the chant after the game has taken off. And
so insane.
That was all Mirko and Sarah.
And that's all, you know, credit to those two. But then to pull it off and, you know, hopefully we just continue to get that opportunity by winning to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the TIFO, the Stewart, and the whole crew that did that thing. And I mean, God, that was a legit, you know, effort. And it's just, and to do this while we're all also helping this opportunity for a stadium, because it was going to bring a national team game. We've done so much by being in while we're so busy, and we just can't thank you guys enough. And the new players and the staff and everybody is so appreciative of what we have here, and we want to grow it, we want to make it better, but we want to stay true to what we have, and we want to be able to run to that corner and celebrate and not have to think twice about it because someone might step on the, we have to, you know, there's, but we want to, we just want to stay after what we have and keep things going. But because we haven't really talked about it, but with the vote, you know, thanks to everybody, whether you were fully behind it, kind of behind it, not sure about it. That's a great thing that we do, is we live in a democracy and people are able to make a choice. But I know our relationships, there's people that, you know, I spoke more to during that just because of their involvement, or I got to know them better. And we grew our numbers, and we grew so many, you know, so many people that understand, you know, what we have here. It's grown because of that process. And Jim said it that night, we're better because of that. There's no freaking doubt in my mind. We are a better club, a better city, a better organization for having gone through that. And, you know, we may not see all the all that hard work come out for a little bit, but there's just little reminders and little tidbits that remind us that, you know, we have such a special thing here, and at the end of the day, we just, you know, we got to get after it. I guess that's I'll leave it at that one.
All right. Mitch, you got anything?
Get after it at the end of the day.
Yes. And please swing by the second shift from 1 to 4 for the Brilliance can release. Then come to the tailgate party at 5:30.
And donate.
And donate to Dexter's Defenders. We're going to kick the shit out of arthritis this weekend. We're doing really good with the We're doing really good with the charity du jour so far.
We're killing it.
We're close to $1,500. First week was Autism Speaks, and then last week was Haven, or second week was Haven of Grace. So let's just keep donating, and it makes us feel good when, you know, people say you're a bunch of drunks, but we say yes, but we give to charity. So we're not going to deny the drunk part, but we do want to give back to our community. So thanks, everybody, for donating. And we will see you on Saturday.
Get after it.